Once again, I'd like to extend a welcome to each one of you. I know that you don't need to be welcomed, that you're at home. But still, we extend the hand of the Lord unto each one of you. Hopefully, you will give our brother Rick your kind and devoted attention. Brother Rick Olson.
Well, I do appreciate the prayer Brother Larry offered at the beginning of the service. It is my desire to present God's word to you today. And not confuse it with my own thoughts, and that what I would present would be what God would have for each of us today. I'd like to read out of the book of Matthew, Chapter 16, starting in the 13th verse. And when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippia, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barzona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And you know, he had that witness through the Holy Ghost of who Christ was. And that's what each one of us, we each need that witness through the Holy Ghost to have faith in Christ and to recognize him for who he is and for what he has done for us. And then he goes on and to say, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There's a lot of confusion in the world today. There's a lot of confusion about Jesus Christ. But to really, truly know what our Heavenly Father wants us to know about Jesus Christ, we need to look to God. And we need to understand His Spirit and what He intends for us to know and to be taught. If we listen to the voices of men, we could be deceived. We could not know Christ as God would have us know him. As Christ told Peter that this was the rock that he was to build his church on. You know, our brother read this morning that Christ was that chief cornerstone, and he truly is. He truly is that cornerstone of this gospel that we believe in. For without Christ there would be no faith. For without Christ there would be no hope of salvation and no opportunity to take part in that plan of redemption that God has for us. But we need to believe in that. We need to believe in that plan of salvation, and we need to know that it's true. And it's the Spirit of God that teaches us that. It's that Holy Ghost that makes us steadfast and strong in our faith, that we can understand and know that it is true. In verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Well, you know what I thought about that? When you think about the process of binding something, on earth, you know, we can lock things up, we can hide things away, put things in some place that we think is safe. But what has that got to do with heaven? What does binding anything here on earth have to do with heaven? And the keys that he's talking about aren't keys that would be used to bind or lock something away here on earth. He's talking about the key to our heart. He's talking about the key that unlocks the mysteries of heaven. That key to your salvation. And so he gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So that Peter would be able to spread the gospel and give liberty to those that believe in Jesus Christ, that they would have freedom and everlasting life. And those that do not accept God, that do not believe in Jesus Christ, then it has become to them as if they're bound, because then they have no hope in that everlasting life. And so truly, the key and the keys that are given are contained in the gospel of Christ. And that's what he was talking about to them. "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And so Christ asked them to keep this knowledge to themselves, because the world was not ready to receive it yet. Christ had not committed, he had not finished following the Heavenly Father's commandments. He had not made that sacrifice yet that completed the gospel. He had not finished what the Lord had sent him to do. So he requested that they would not share that. Not that they were incorrect, not that it was a secret, but because the world was not ready. And then we can read Peter himself perhaps was not ready. Because in his love for Christ, in his desire, he couldn't understand why they must lose their teacher, the one that had given them hope, the one that meant so much to them. And he began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And so we can see in this a snapshot of how we think as men, as what we would call today human nature. And to think like God and always put our Heavenly Father first is an unnatural thing for us. And so we must always be mindful of that. And we must always be aware. And remember that what we sometimes think is right and what we sometimes think is good may not be what our Heavenly Father would desire, even though to us it may seem to be the thing that is right. And so we need to rely upon that Holy Ghost to direct us and to keep us in that righteous path, that we would not be led astray. And, you know, God has seen fit to put give us tools for those things. He has preserved the Scriptures for us. He has sent angels to teach us. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have dreams and visions on occasion. And we have record of all those things to teach us of what our Heavenly Father would have us do and know. We have all the prophets that have written and recorded those things. But even with all those things, we still must have that Spirit. If we are going to believe those things and understand them, you know, the same Bible and the same Book of Mormon that we have is the same Bible and the same Book of Mormon that others have. But yet there are many that misunderstand by the same word. And it is through the Spirit that we get that wisdom and that knowledge, and that teaches us. And so that's important to us. I'd like to go to Alma, page 441. And starting in the 66th verse, and this is Alma talking to his son Helaman, and he's, "Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou raisest up in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day." So Alma was instructing his son Helaman to put everything before God and do everything in his power to be close to God. From the time he gets up in the morning to the time he goes to bed at night, and that his prayer would be that God would be with him even in his sleep, that he would never be separated from God, that God would always be there with him. And that's not human nature. That's not something that we do. We have a tendency to think about what we make with our own hands and what we do with our own strength and how we get through the day, what we did today and what we did yesterday and how we put food in our mouths and how we fixed our car, and you can see where I'm going with this, and all these things that we do every day. That's what we think about, and that's the natural man. But what Alma is telling his son is do all those things unto God. And remember to give thanks for all those things. And to place all those things before God. Yea, and when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And that's a comforting thought, that if we keep God next to us and close to us all the day long, that when we lay down at night, we close our eyes, and we don't know what's going on around us, and we don't know what's going on in the world around us, and the turmoil that's there, we can close our eyes and know that God is taking care of us. And that's a blessed thing, to never be separated from our Heavenly Father, even in our sleep. It says, if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers called the ball or director, or our fathers called the leihona, which is being interpreting a compass, and the Lord prepared it. You know, one thing that when I read that, my mind flashes to something that we have today that's very much man-made. It's kind of a marvel of technology, and it's a GPS. Some of us, we have it in our cell phones. Some of us, we have it on the dashboard of our car. It can pinpoint where you're at within 10 feet. That accuracy from anywhere in the world. And the military has one that's even better. It can get within a few inches. But that's a marvel of modern day technology. And so when I look at this, and you read the story in the Book of Mormon about the leihona and how it worked, it didn't work with technology. It worked by faith in God. And it was much better than any GPS that we could have today. Much better. But for the modern man, I think we can kind of become jaded. You know, like our brother said this morning, he appreciated the Church of Christ because we believed. We just believed in what it said. We didn't try to find a modern explanation for how he didn't say parting of the Red Sea, but that's one example that comes to mind. How someone might come up with a modern explanation for something like that. So we're kind of jaded a little bit. When we see things like leihona in the Book of Mormon, you know, unless we have the Spirit with us, that's really not going to impress us much. You know, we have all these things, and all these things that modern technology can blind us with, that can, without even thinking about it, kind of make us look at things just kind of jaded. You know, we don't see the wonder in it and the miracle in it unless we have the Spirit of God with us. And behold, there cannot be any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And so the use of that word curious means that the craftsmanship in it was very fine. Puts it at a level of craftsmanship that can't be described. To me, it means that it's a level of craftsmanship that they could not discover how it was made. They could not see how it was made. They could not understand how it was made by a man. If you took a cell phone, like a smartphone, and you showed it to a person of that day, they would definitely say that was a curious workmanship, because they would not understand it. If we seen a lahona today, would we understand it? We wouldn't understand it. But at the same time, would we marvel at it? Would we think, oh, there's a GPS inside that thing somehow, and that's how it's working? And that's the danger that we have to look at. We need to keep that spirit alive in us. That we continue to marvel at God. That He is able to impress us. In order to do that, you need to have His Spirit. Because if you don't, you would just think of lahona. It was a GPS. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe in God, or if they had faith to believe that God could cause that those spindles should point the way they should go, behold, it was done. And therefore they had this miracle. And so many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Nevertheless, because those miracles worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forgetful, and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence. And then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. So these small miracles that were done showed them marvelous things. But even then, that same human nature is the same human nature today as it was then. They got to be slothful and forgot to exercise their faith. Even with all of those wonderful things that God was doing for them right in front of them daily. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness or did not travel a direct course and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And now, my son, I would that you should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed unto this compass, now these things were temporal, they did not prosper. Even so, it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point you the straight course to eternal bliss, as it is for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point to them in a straight course to the promised land. Well, we could compare a GPS, although flawed as they are, they don't always take you to the right place and they don't always work. But we could compare it to the lahona spiritually. If you don't follow your GPS, you're not going to get where you need to go. And this is the same problem that they had in those days. They didn't follow the lahona, or they didn't practice what they needed to practice in order for it to work so they could get where they needed to go. And our goal is that eternal life. Our goal is to have that redemption and salvation and eternity with our Heavenly Father. But we need to practice. We need to practice our faith. that we can keep on that path. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so was it with our fathers. For so was it prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so, it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that ye take care of these sacred things. Yea, see that ye look to God and live. Go unto this people and declare the word, and be sober, my son. Farewell. And so, we need to always look to God. Always look to God. And we have a lot of clutter in our lives. We have a lot of things that we think that we do that we have only done because God has willed it or allowed it. And all of those things, we need to put them in their place and remember our Heavenly Father in all that we do. Even as it is described here, from getting up in the morning and to laying down in our beds at night. Daily. So I'd like to go to Acts, the 7th chapter, just read a couple verses. Acts 7, verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? And in John, verse 56, this is in the 7th chapter. These are the words of Christ. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. We are to have God with us continually. We are to have that Holy Ghost, that Spirit. And we need to abide with it and it with us. And if we are constantly taking care of the things that man does, if we are constantly taking care of those mundane everyday things and not thinking about God, it doesn't take long, and we can see it happening all around us, where people forget about God. They forget that they need Him. They forget what He has done. And they begin to think about just what they see. Just like those when they forgot about their faith and only sought for the direction they got from the Lahona, and not forgot to practice their faith to make it work. And so we need to practice our faith. And we need to always look to God, that we don't forget, and that we can see past the things that we do with our own hands, so that we can see past the things that are being done by men, so that we can see what God has for us and what He is doing for us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. The 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, and this is Christ speaking, Why callest me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which Jesus said. So he said, which commandments? Which ones are the special ones, the ones that I really need to, I'm kind of paraphrasing that, but he says, which ones? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy mother and thy father, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so he wanted eternal life. And the reality is, we can kind of step back and look at that and say, well, what would you give for eternal life? Would you give everything? And that's what this young man was being asked to do. And he couldn't do it. He went away sorrowful. Because he forgot. He forgot that all that he had was because God allowed it. Because God had given it to him. He was thinking about what he did. He was thinking about all the work that he put into gathering those things up. He was thinking about how important it was to him and what he did. And what he was going to do with it, and why he thought he needed to keep it. But we have all these scriptures in front of us, and we can look at this now and kind of say, well, didn't he know that if he would have given that, God would have given him so much more? Didn't he know that he would have been blessed so much more abundantly, and he wouldn't have missed what he gave up? But do we remember that? Do we sometimes forget that and think about what we have to do, what we need to get done, what we're giving up? Or are we thinking about how much more we'll be blessed if we'll do what God asks us to do? So we can't be too hard on this young man, but we can certainly get a little bit of a glimpse into the human nature and what we have to remember not to do, and to remember those blessings that God gave us and is going to give us and will give us and that has promised to us. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so, there is nothing that we do that makes this possible. And that's what that means to me. It's not about whether it is and it isn't, about whether a rich man can get into heaven. The lesson is you can't get there yourself. There's no amount of hard work that you can do. There's no amount of preparing on this earth with your job, with everything else you think you need to do, that is going to get you to heaven. It's impossible for you to do it. But God can do it. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so it wasn't that the young man had all of this wealth that he wasn't willing to give up. It was not the wealth. It was his lack of willingness to give it up. Because he didn't want to let God do for him what he promised he would do. And that's what we need to stay focused on, is our God and what he will do for us. And so, it's easy for us to get distracted with everything that we do every day. And so those words that Alma was giving to Helaman ring true today as they did then. That even in today's world, with all of our modern conveniences, I mean, I get up in the morning, I turn on the faucet and there's hot water. I didn't have to go out and chop wood and start a fire and warm it up so I could take a hot bath in the morning. I go in the kitchen, and there's my coffee, because my wife's already made it, you know. And then 15 minutes later, I'm in the car, and I'm headed to work, and half an hour later, I'm 30 miles away, and I'm sitting at my desk. That could have never happened for those folks then. They had to walk. They had to do all of that stuff, you know? And so it's pretty easy for us to lose focus. It's pretty easy for us to forget how much we depend upon God. I mean, we're going to leave this service. We're going to walk out there. We're going to jump in our cars, and we're going to run down the highway faster than any animal on earth can go, sitting on four wheels, thanks to GM. And Ford, and all those guys. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. So, it's not a surprise that it's easy for us to forget how great God is. He gave us all of these things. And we need to remember that. Go to John. Chapter 3. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come of God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the the second, or can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it came, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so we need to be born of that Spirit. Or we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And as it says here, the things of the flesh are born of the flesh, and the things that are of the Spirit are born of the Spirit. And so we need to not get distracted with the things that are in the flesh, and that we focus on the things that are of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit are where those keys to the kingdom of heaven are, not in the things of the flesh, not in the temporal things of this world. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, and because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So that should be our goal, that our deeds be wrought in God. And people don't talk that way anymore, but that's what Alma was talking about, that the deeds that we be done according to God's will, and that they would be focused on our belief in Jesus Christ and his power to save. That we would exercise our faith and always give thanks daily to our Heavenly Father for what we have and the hope that we have. Well, it's really all I had for today. I hope that I've given you something to think upon through the week. I know that as I read those things and scriptures, that I've seen things in my life that I need to set back a little bit and take a second look at and make sure I keep my focus where it needs to be. I hope that all is well with you. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Thank you.